there, I'm Leah Ben Miller, the worship leader of the local church, and you're listening to the Local Church Podcast featuring the messages from our Sunday liturgy. The Local Church is a bold, inclusive faith community based in Chatham County, North Carolina, and our mantra is our mission, love where you are. We gather for affirming, anchoring, and empowering worship every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at Woods Charter School and online via Facebook Live and YouTube. No matter where you find yourself physically, spiritually, or emotionally, you belong at the local church. And we're so glad you're here.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge for the poor and decide with equity for the oppressed of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion will feed together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Our second scripture reading is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of God for all of God's creation.
Yeah. The Mead family did such a great job, didn't they? Sorry about the candle. Sorry about that candle. Thank you. Thanks for lighting and reading the liturgy. We do that each Sunday during this season of Advent as a sort of protest. As the days get shorter and the nights grow longer each week, it's a sign of stubborn hope in this season. That as the Gospel of John says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it. And it's a way of acknowledging that even here, even now, even still, the light of the world has come into our midst. So thank you both. Thanks for reading so well this morning. And I loved that litany, too, that you shared, right? A list of all kinds of things that people are afraid of. Spiders, nightmares, climate change, not being enough, that hits deeply for me. I'd love to hear yours. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? This is my Phil Donahue moment. Some of y'all are. What's that? Addiction. That's real. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Losing a loved one? Yeah. Yeah. Mice? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Others. What's that? Presenting in front of people, like public speaking? Perhaps. Me too. Me too. Yeah. Others? Yeah, Kathy? Guns? Sure. In schools? Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Missing out, fear of FOMO? Yeah, that's real. Absolutely. Yeah. It's like when you didn't want to go anyway, but you wanted to at least be invited, right? That whole, I'm afraid of that feeling.
That my son will find some other crazy high-risk sport.
You're afraid that your son will find some crazy high-risk sport. Yes. Yeah. Again, another one. Another one. Yeah. Yeah. Great. Rajiv? Graduating. Yeah, right? What's on the other side? Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. These are so good. What are you afraid of? Thanks for sharing. I thought of some of my own. Mayonnaise might be at the top of my list. Yeah. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Jim? Jill? Yeah. Yeah. But I've got bigger fears too, y'all. Deeper ones. Fears I don't like to think about. Fears I'd prefer to just keep pressed down inside. As an Enneagram 3, if that means anything to you, I fear insignificance. I fear getting older, fading into obsolescence as the world passes me by, right? I fear not being able to give my family a good life. I fear something happening to one of my kids. I fear I'll look back on my life and wonder if there was meaning in it at all. I fear I'll make a split-second decision that will cause everything to unravel. Maybe some of you have some of these fears as well. Fear of embarrassment or death or loss. Fear about getting older, losing some capacity. Fear that your next move isn't the right move. Fear of being found out. Fear that your pregnancy won't take. Fear of being hurt again. Fear that you won't be able to see your granddaughter graduate. Fear that you won't have enough when you get to the end and that they won't either. Fear of everything on which I've built my life and my faith ending up in a pile of rubble. Fear that you won't be able to go on without them. It's all around us, isn't it? This fear, you can feel it. So often we're motivated by these fears. Our lives are lived so as to avoid them. And if avoidance isn't possible, we want to at least minimize the possibility, right, that they will affect us, that they'll cause us harm. We want to mitigate the risk, right? Travis and I were talking about that just before the service this morning, mitigating risk. And to that end, there are plenty of companies, and products, and apps ready to swoop right in and help you do just that. No shortage of those. And if you're sitting there nodding along this morning, I want you to know that you're not alone in any of that. You're not alone in your fear. And in fact, believe it or not, I think that's what the angel Gabriel is getting at when he shows up out of nowhere, in the middle of nowhere, Nazareth, and says to Mary, "Do not be afraid." Easy for him to say, right? But I really do think there's more going on there, and we'll get into that. But first, I want to take just a moment to remind us that it's the second week of the season of Advent. As I mentioned last week, the word Advent literally means coming or arrival. And Advent is the 4-week season in our liturgical calendar, the calendar that gives us a rhythm as followers of Jesus, a four-week season to not only wait for the hope of Christmas and the coming of the Christ child, but also we wait in the middle for the arrival of God's promised day when all is as it should be, when there's no more mourning or crying or pain and all things are made new, when the lion and the lamb live peacefully together in the scripture we heard this morning. And it's in this season of Advent that we are invited to take a hard look at our world, at the world outside and the world within, and realize that not all is as it should be. We lean into that tension between the already and the not yet. It's where we find ourselves, and we really name that discomfort. We tell the truth about who we are and about this world that we find ourselves in and cling to the promise of what's ahead. We name the truth that we're a long way from where we've been, sure, but we're still a long way off from where we need to be. And so to orient ourselves in this season over these 4 weeks, we're leaning into a series that's called From Generation to Generation. From Generation to Generation. And throughout these 4 weeks, we'll hear again the timeless stories of Christmas like we heard this morning, stories that have been passed down from generation to generation. And we'll hear them not as stagnant tales from long ago, but hopefully, if we're all doing our jobs well, with a resonance that echoes in our world still today, that has bearing on how we live and move, even here, even now, even still. We'll hear these stories with fresh ears. And in between our receiving these stories and passing them on again from generation to generation, we're waiting and we're trusting in this Advent season that God will do something new, something generative and in us as the story unfolds and ours unfolds within it. Last week, leaning into the unexpected genealogy of Jesus, we explored how there is room for every story, yours included. This week, from generation to generation, God meets us in our fear. God meets us in our fear. A brief word of welcome before we get into it, though. My name is Brent. I have the great joy of serving as the pastor here at the local church. We say this every week. We mean this every week. And we say it because a lot of life happens from Sunday to Sunday, right? And we have terrible memories. And so we repeat it so often because we need to hear it. At least I do, right? That we hope for three things every time you interact with us at the local church in any way, that we want you to feel affirmed, anchored, and empowered. Affirmed in your humanity as the beloved child of God that you are, anchored in the good news that we share together each week, and empowered to take that good news into the world, to love where you are, to live out God's mission, which is our mission here at the local church, to love where you are, affirmed, anchored, and empowered by God's grace. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey or on no journey at all, you have a place here at the local church, and we want you to bring your full authentic selves to this place, and we covenant with you to do the same. So thanks be to God for you. Many places you could be on a Sunday morning. If you're participating online, we're so glad that you are here as well. Thanks be to God. Let's get into it. As we begin, let's just be quiet for a moment. Holy God, whether it's through angels or music, friendships or sermons, study or nature, when you speak, we long to hear it. In a world as loud, as chaotic, as broken as ours is, we could use your words of hope and of healing. We could use your peace. And so meet us here again today. Meet us here anew. Enter our world again. Weave us into this story again and into the tapestry of your beloved community. With gratitude, we pray. Amen. Do not be afraid, Gabriel says, for you have found favor with God. Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And it's laughable, really. We've heard it so many times that maybe it's pacified a little bit, and we just know it as part of the story. But you've really got to know just how ridiculous, just how out of touch with reality these words from the angel Gabriel must have sounded to Mary. We have to set the stage here to fully understand why Mary finds herself here in the town of Nazareth in Galilee in ancient Palestine. Nazareth has a reputation. Remember in John's gospel, Nathanael asks, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That gives you a sense of how people are thinking about this place. It's a slum. It's nowhere. And life there is hard, hard in a way that we can't fully comprehend. Here's how theologian Kelly Nikendeha describes life in Galilee. She writes, village life across Galilee was not bucolic and benign, but tense and taut, a toxic mingling of woe, want, and waiting for the next act of aggression, created cycles of inescapable trauma for all the inhabitants of Galilee. It was the last place anyone expected to be on God's map for a peace campaign, a toxic mingling of woe, want, and waiting, inescapable trauma for all the inhabitants. They'd experienced occupation after occupation, and their occupation by the Roman Empire was just the latest in a long line, a long string of oppression and poverty and subjugation in the name of peace, a certain type of peace. Protests are quickly snuffed out, uprisings are squashed, violence, resistance, and trauma is a way of life, all in favor of the Pax Romana, Roman peace that is not really peace at all, simply an absence of conflict. But do not be afraid, Gabriel says. Sure. Okay, I'll get right on that. And then the chaser, for you have found favor with God. Oh, really? You can almost imagine Mary wondering, you call this favor? Here in this God-forsaken place, here in this poverty, here as a woman in a patriarchal society, favor? Sure. Okay, we'll go with that. But Gabriel keeps going, undeterred, offering a revelation that will change everything for Mary about conceiving and bearing a son who she will name Jesus, about how he will be great, the Son of the Most High, how he'll reign forever, and how of his kingdom there will be no end. And there's every chance in the world that the fear in Mary compounds with every syllable that leaves Gabriel's mouth. Not only is she likely afraid of the violence that defines her life, the militias that form, the insurrections that pop up, the empire that makes life miserable for the Jewish people, the hunger, the poverty that threaten her existence and that of those she loves on a daily basis. Not only that, but now there's a fear of pregnancy, of the toll that it will take on her body, of what her family will say, whether they'll even believe this crazy nonsense, what her fiance will think, whether he'll believe her. And even if she doesn't, if she does go through with this, the thought of raising a child in this hard, heavy world, and the shame that she'll carry with her, that will be just as heavy. There's so much. Lord, have mercy. The fear is palpable. And when Mary follows up with the question, how can this be? I do wonder whether she's really asking for like the how. Like, how is this going to happen? Like, what's the science behind this? Right? Is she really asking for the physiological, biological answer of exactly how the Son of God will be implanted, which is what Gabriel offers, how God will become incarnate in her womb? Or is she instead asking a more existential question? Like, how's this all gonna work? How can this be? How's this all gonna work? In other words, what's my life gonna look like? It's a question we often ask when we're on the edge, staring down fears of our own. But the angel keeps talking. God love him. Gabriel describes how the Holy Spirit will come upon her, and the power of the Most High will overshadow her, and how her relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, evidence that nothing is impossible with God. And somewhere along the way, as Gabriel describes how God will move in Mary's womb, something moves in Mary too. And she eventually responds, "Here am I, a servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. I've often loved playing with this line a little bit, wondering about the tenor and the tone of Mary's voice. What voice do you give Mary? She utters this, let it be with me according to your word. It's a line that's been used to demonstrate what it looks like to follow Jesus, to be a faithful disciple. But the hard truth as well of this line is that it's also been used and misused in harmful ways to manipulate another into blind trust and to coerce and to shame people into submission. Don't you want to be like Mary? But what's behind her voice? And that's why I think it's important to imagine the voice of Mary here. What voice have you given her? What if instead her voice is trembling? What if instead her voice is trembling? What if there's a tinge, if not more than a tinge, of apprehension underneath the resolve? What if the fear isn't gone? What if it's still there? Let it be with me according to your word. She's human. After all, what if the fear is still there? And what if instead God meets her in that fear and in ours too? Because here's the thing. Often when we hear don't be afraid, it can feel like we're being chastised. It can feel dismissive. It can be shame-inducing, as if to say, if we just had more faith, more trust, if we prayed more, if we worked a little harder at it, then we wouldn't have fear. We'd be invincible. We'd be super disciples, best ever. The angel Gabriel has just told Mary that God was about to come near. Consider this news, that God's about to come near, that God's about to become local, that God is drawing close as her womb, as a way of drawing close to the rest of the world. God with us, Emmanuel. And so perhaps as she processed all of these words about God coming close, she started to hear Gabriel's plea not to be afraid a little bit differently. Maybe as she brought it all together, she starts to hear, don't be afraid, a little bit differently. Because if it's true that God draws near to us in all of our humanity, in all of our mess and moxie, it has to also be true that there is no part of us, no heartache, no pain, no anxiety, no worry, and especially no fear that God's love doesn't meet. If God meets us in all of our humanity, then there's no part of us that God does not meet. I love how Cole Arthur Riley puts it in her incredible book, This Here Flesh, that should be on every Christmas list if it's not already. She writes, I hear don't be afraid and hope that it is not a command not to fear, but rather the nurturing voice of a God drawing near to our trembling. I hear those words and imagine God in all tenderness, cradling her creation against her breast. I'm going to read it again. I hear don't be afraid and hope that it's not a command not to fear, but rather the nurturing voice of a God drawing near to our trembling. I hear those words and imagine God in all tenderness, cradling her creation against her breast. Don't be afraid isn't an admonishment not to fear, and it's an acknowledgement that there is fear and that God is with us in the midst of it. And it's this promise of God having met her in it that gives Mary the courage to say yes, to say, let it be with me according to your word, because she knows that even in her fear, especially in her fear, God is with her. Are you with me? There have been moments in my own life when I've been paralyzed by fear before a doctor's appointment, before making a big life decision, breaking difficult news to somebody. You know the feeling? You know the feeling? I was feeling this a few years ago, and in a moment of prayer, these words came to mind that have carried me since. Perhaps God gave them to me. I want to believe that, but it's become sort of a mantra, a prayer for me. I'd say to myself, and still do in moments of fear, I think we have it. This is what I know to be true today. This is what I know to be true today. Fear is often deeply rooted in the past, but lives in the future. And so what this line has done is basically ground me and anchor me in the present and what I know to be true today. And what I know to be true today is the same thing Mary knew in that incredible moment that seemed so out of touch with reality, that God saw her, that God loved her, that God was with her. It's like the arms of a parent outstretched when a baby is taking his first steps. You know, he can brave what's ahead and all of its uncertainty and all of its potential danger because mom's right there, giving him the confidence to take another step and another. And even when he falls, which he will do, which we'll all do, mom will be there to pick him up again, dust him off, and help him take another step. Here's the thing. Don't miss this. When you're rooted, when you're grounded in the confidence of that love, that which you know to be true today, operating out of that assurance, that confidence that God is with you and that you're not alone, the fear is still there. Sure, it's real, but it doesn't drive. The fear is still there, but when God meets you in it, you can also then say with confidence, let it be with me according to your word. It's because of that love that nothing is impossible with God. So maybe you're afraid of what the future holds. Maybe you're afraid of the hard conversation that you know is coming. Maybe you're afraid of forgiveness, of believing that something new is possible. Maybe you're afraid of letting people in, letting people get too close. Maybe you're afraid of abandonment or afraid of a recession or the outcome of an election. Perhaps you're afraid of what others might think of you, or you're afraid to move on, afraid to pack your bags and set some boundaries. Maybe you're afraid to take that leap and do the thing that God's been stirring up in your heart for a long time. Maybe you're afraid to give yourself fully over to Jesus. But what changes? What changes when you consider what you know to be true today? That God sees you in all of your humanity. That God loves you passionately. And that the God of the universe is with you now in every moment. What changes? Could you then, with Mary, say, let it be with me according to your word? From generation to generation, God meets us in our fear. Thanks be to God, with whom nothing is impossible. Amen.
If you love what you hear, share this episode or send it to someone who could use a little good news this week. We'd also love for you to leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. It's an easy way to share the love. You can learn more about the local church at our website, growlocal.church, or just come see us one week. Thanks for listening, and love where you are.